Amen. All right. Well, a few weeks ago, I preached a sermon called The Importance of Communication, and I wanted to make sure to communicate a little bit more on that topic of communication. So, and I don't really feel like I got to cover this as good as I wanted to, so I failed to communicate everything that I wanted to communicate. So, but anyway, the title of the sermon this morning is Evil Communication. Evil Communication. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for the saints and for the gathering of the congregation today. Pray, Lord, that you just bless this day, bless everything that's done here, the preaching, the soul winning, and, Lord, our fellowship. And I pray, Lord, you'd be with me and fill me with your spirit as I begin to preach. And I pray that you'd help me to communicate the things that you'd want me to communicate this morning to your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so I had Brother CJ read Proverbs chapter 4 because I didn't want him to have to read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is where I get my title. So go ahead and just keep your place in Proverbs chapter 4, but let's turn back or turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in the New Testament. So it's 58, I think it's like 58 verses or something like that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And Brother CJ just looked tired this morning, so I just wanted to give him some mercy. See, a pastor does have mercy on people. So anyway, I was having mercy on you, you know, to also because, you know, just the way he reads. No, I'm just kidding. No, he's great. So anyway, so I'm already evil communicating about my own people here. So you see how I am? See how wicked people are? So let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. It says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." Others, and so basically, evil communication can corrupt good manners. Now, so what is evil communication? Well, anything that's not good, you know, and it could be like, you know, it could be just the way we talk to people, but it also can be wicked things that are found in the Bible. And this is a big topic. It's a big subject. There's a lot of different types of evil communication. So I'm just going to cover some of them. And when it comes to railing, I'm probably going to wait until I preach my sermon on 1 Corinthians chapter 5 to kind of go deep into that. You know, our own communication can affect our good manners. Other people's communication with us can also corrupt our good manners. And now good manners isn't necessarily talking about, you know, what forks you put on the right, what, you know, your salad forks and all that kind of stuff. Although it can mean the manners that you would have towards other people, how you conduct yourself in society. Because obviously there's things in our society that would be rude in other societies and vice versa. But what I think it's talking about mainly is the manner in which you live your life. And so I think it could mean both. So the evil communication that others bring to you or that you bring to others can affect the good way that people live their life and also can affect the way that people would act in society. Because let's just think about what people would say is cussing, okay? Cussing is the colorful language which a lot of people use. And Christians, you know, there's a lot to be said about certain words. Like people think the words damn and piss and bastard are bad words. You know, I know people are just like, oh, I can't believe you said that. But look, those words are in the Bible. So is God having corrupt communication? No. The word bastard just means that you're an illegitimate child. You know, in this sensitive snowflake world that we live in right now, people would want to use a different word for that. You know, illegitimate child is probably a little less hardcore, right? But God just cuts right through the tape and says, you know what, you're a bastard. Okay? So it shouldn't offend us. You know, we shouldn't try to soften up the words of the Bible because that's God's word. So if God says those words, then how can they be wrong to say? So anyway, I'm not going to get super deep into that part of it. But if you're using the F word as every adjective, every pronoun, everything that you say in a sentence with somebody, I mean, people can use the F word in colorful ways. And, you know, if anybody works construction, you know, a lot of times you're around people or if you're working on any kind, around any men, period, a lot of men talk like that. And actually, there's some pretty vulgar women out there that I've, you know, they made me blush. So, but as Christians, do you think that people are going to judge you by the way you speak, though? Obviously they are. So if you're always just, you know, throwing off F-bombs because you have liberty in Christ, then you know that's probably not a good way to communicate, because people think that like saying certain words are sinful, and maybe some of them are. Like, I would say that the F word is probably a word that we should not use, right? Because it's indicating something that we shouldn't be having in our regular conversations. We're not supposed to be talking about stuff like that. So, but you know, obviously we're sinful, and the Bible says the tongue can no man tame. You know, so sometimes you're going to say things that you wish you hadn't have said. But if you know, think about this, if you use those words around your kids a lot, they're going to learn to use those words too. And then their kids. So it's good to break the cycle of that if you possibly can. And obviously when I grew up, I thought my middle name was that word. So like my parents cussed a lot, and the F word was one of their favorite words. So and I'm not saying you can't break yourself of those things. And some people use evil communication in other ways. It might not be that. Maybe when you got saved all the way, and you've never said a cuss word ever since you've been saved, and you know, you just immediately that left you to never want to cuss again. Maybe that's you. Okay. Well, what else do you say that's evil communication, though? Because you know, tail-bearing is evil communication. Having a froward mouth is evil communication. Railing is evil communication. Backbiting is evil communication. Foolish talking is evil communication. Over jesting, when you're just being a clown. You know, jesting is like a clown, right? So if you're always just being a clown and you're never serious, that can be, I believe, evil communication. Lying, bearing false witness, evil communication. So some people are like, I can't believe he said the SH word, you know, or the F word. You know, the only F word I use is the word fag. So, and I don't think that's a bad word. It's just, you know, a synonym of homo or sodomite or whatever. But, you know, I'm just saying that some people will look at someone the way, if they say some colorful language, and go, I can't believe that they're Christians and they talk like that. And then they lie about people behind their back. They do all these lists that I just kind of got through saying. And so others' evil communication can affect us. It rubs off on us. So if you're always hanging out with someone that's always has some sort of evil communication, then it can rub off on you, and it can go into your everyday life and corrupt your good manner of life. It can corrupt the manners in your society. So if you're around someone that's always using that kind of language, then it can wear off on you, and then you start using it also. You see what I'm saying? So this is a big, broad subject, and nobody has a pure mouth. Even Isaiah the prophet, when he was called by God, you know, he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And like God actually, you know, that one of the angels took a burning coal and put it on his mouth to cleanse his mouth, because, you know, maybe, you know, he's a good guy, but he's realized immediately when you're in the presence of God, you immediately start to realize just how sinful you really are. And so what is the first thing that he thought about? How unclean his lips are. And, you know, the guy's he's called to be a prophet. God's calling him to be a prophet. So just because you're a man of unclean lips doesn't mean God can't use you either, right? So let's go through some of these evil communications that I'm talking about. So what are these communications that can corrupt our good manner of life? What are these communications that can corrupt our manners in everyday society? Well, tail-bearing is one of them. Tail-bearing is a person, you know, is the act of a person who spreads gossip, secrets, etc., that may cause trouble or harm. So the tail-bearing is, you know, and it starts off, you know, as you know, you're talking about somebody, and maybe you don't even have all the details, but you're already starting to spread, you know, what we would call gossip. Gossip is what modern-day society calls it, but the Bible actually doesn't have the word gossip in it. So the Bible uses the word tail-bearing. And tail-bearing is when you're telling stories about other people, generally behind their back, and you're spreading, you could even be spreading something that's true. But, you know, you've ever played that game Campfire, right? And at the beginning, and some people intentionally twist those words to make it sound funny and stupid as it gets around to the last person. You know what I'm talking about, that game Campfire, where everybody's in a circle, you start out with one story, and then that story gets back, and at the very end, it doesn't have anything to do with what the original thing was. It barely has a resemblance of it. And like I said, some people start to distort it just so to make it sound funny, but that's how tail-bearing also works. is that someone will distort some part of the story, and by the time it gets around the camp, then it's something completely different and not even true. And that happens in church life, and it should not happen. So that's something that would be evil communication, spreading gossip and secrets about someone to cause trouble and harm. Backbiting is to attack the character or reputation of a person who is not present. You're attacking that person's character and reputation, and they're not there. So anything that you want to say to someone, you know, that you would say behind someone's back, you should be willing to say to their face. And sometimes, who's ever got caught saying something? Well, you don't have to raise your hand, but who's ever got caught? Like, I knew it! No. Who's ever, but if you've ever got caught saying something behind someone's back and then the person walks right up and they've been listening for like a couple seconds, you feel stupid, don't you? So, and that's backbiting. But, you know, sometimes it could be true. And so if it's like, I've actually had that happen. I'm like, yeah, you do suck or whatever, you know. I'll say, you know, if it's not worth saying behind someone's back, if you're saying it behind someone's back, you should be willing to say it to their face. And so also foolish talking, again, is just like you're talking about things that are stupid, that don't matter, right? Foolish things. So, and obviously, I'm not saying you should eat, drink, sleep, read the Bible at all times and never talk about anything else. But if you are always talking about other things and they're foolish things, that's evil communication, in my opinion. Like I said, jesting is where you're just acting like a clown. You know, that's what we would consider a clown, right? Mm-hmm. And nobody likes clowns, let's just be honest. They're scary, and they're also strange. So, nobody likes a clown, even without makeup, all right? So, lying is, again, one of those things that we should just not be, you know, if you're lying to people, that's evil communication. Bearing false witness is basically in the same category. Railing is always sinful, it's always wrong. Now, people will say, well, you shouldn't rebuke people. You shouldn't correct people. And like, people get on to me about the sermons I preach about correcting false prophets and rebuking people and things like that. Rebuking is not wrong. Railing is wrong. Railing is always a lie, and it's always not. It's always a sin. Anytime you talk about railing, any instance of railing in the whole Bible, it's always a sin, and it's always wrong. Now, rebuking is something where you're telling someone they're wrong, and sometimes you got to freak out on people and rebuke them. But obviously you want to do that with love, you know, and things like that. But rebuking is not wrong. We're supposed to reprove, rebuke, exhort. Amen. With all long suffering and doctrine. And then also having a froward mouth, willfully contrary, not easily managed. Someone that just shoots off at the mouth about everything that they, you know, that they think. Who knows people like that? If it's you, just raise your hand. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to raise your hand. But sometimes we can get into a negative mind state. We can get into a negative attitude. We can get into talking about things negatively all the time to where nothing is ever positive. And you know what that does? It just brings everybody else down around you. And so we should have a positive attitude. We're Christians. We're children of the King. And so we should have a positive attitude about things, and not everything always has to be, oh, it's so bad, it's so sinful, it's, you know, everything's always negative. You're always talking about somebody negative. Someone's always talking about you negative. And so we got to get our wickedness, our evil communication under control, and we also can control who we hang around with that is corrupting us with their evil communication, right? Because nobody forces you to hang out with people. You know, you hang out with people that you want to hang out with, but if that person's causing you to be negative, hey, and there's nothing wrong with reproving that person. Say, hey, you know, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about something positive. Let's talk about something that's, you know, more positive. Let's talk about something else. So, and we can get trapped. Everybody can get trapped into talking negative. Everybody does. You know, like I said, the Bible says the tongue no man can control. You know, we can control animals. We can control the way a ship steers and all these different things, but the tongue can no man tame. It's full of poison, and it's wicked. You know, our tongue, this little thing, and this little member in our mouth that speaks, you know, boasts great things, but it can be used to condemn someone. It can be used to give life and great conversations with. Amen. But us as Christians, we should probably be on the side of using it for the right. You know, not probably, we should be. So again, manners can be the manner in which you live your life or the manners of how you deal with deal with others. So if evil communication corrupts good manners, then the influence of that communication can influence the manner in which you live or act normally or normally would behave. Let's look back. So I had you hold your finger in Proverbs chapter 4. Great chapter of the Bible. It actually talks about these people who can't sleep until they've caused somebody to fall. Like, that's really weird, right? If you're a normal person, your thoughts before you go to bed is not to cause someone to fall. This is talking about a wicked person. And it's a evil people. And so in church life, evil people can creep in. Evil people can be part of our church and you don't even realize it because, you know, the devil works in subtlety. And subtlety is where, you know, and I'll define that in a minute, but let's look at verse number 24 in Proverbs 4. Look what it says. Put away from thee a froward mouth. And remember, that's someone that's contrary or not easily managed. Someone just shoots off at the mouth all the time. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. And there's a lot of people that tell perverted jokes and say perverted things, but anything that you would say that's perverting even the truth would be someone that has perverse lips. It says put away that person. Put away froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee, including yourself and others. Look at verse 25. Let thine eye look right on, and let thine eyelid look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. So when you ponder where your feet are going to go, then you're thinking about where you're going to go, right? So in football, we had this term, and when I would teach people how to tackle as a coach, I would say, where your head goes, your feet are going to follow. Where your head goes, so if people, like their head is diving towards the ground, their feet are going to follow towards the ground. But if you have your head up and you're looking at that person, then your feet are going to follow through with that hit. Now, obviously, not everybody knows what I'm talking about, but if you've ever tackled somebody before, if you're looking down on the ground, that's when someone's going to, you know, shed that tackle or whatever. But the point I'm saying is that where your head goes, your feet will follow. And so in our lives, if you're pondering the path that your feet are going to go, you're thinking about that before you do it. And you're like, where am I going to, you know, you don't just walk aimlessly like people with their smartphones in their hand. And they'll just have you ever watched those videos where people just walk into stuff and have their cell phones in their hand? They're not pondering where their feet are going. They're just walking like this, like a Android, you know, they are an Android at that point. And I've seen people like fall into like, you know, huh?
Manhole covers.
Oh, man. Yeah, manhole covers. People fall all the time. I heard Josh fell yesterday when he was out, you know, hiking. Were you on your phone? No, okay, good. He just fell. All right, so anyway, but we need to be looking where we're going. And that's the point. And so you don't want to be around people and put yourself in a situation where you're going to have evil communication. If someone that you're hanging out with has a froward mouth and perverse lips, put those people far from thee. Think about where you're going. Think about who you're hanging around with. And, you know, people can be corrected. You don't have to just throw them out like trash. But, you know, if what they're doing is affecting how you live your life and how you communicate with other people, then that person should not be someone that you hang around with. Turn to Proverbs chapter 23, verse 6. Excuse me. Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 6, the Bible says, eat thou not the bread of him that have an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. So eat not the bread of him that have an evil eye. That's someone that's, you know, a sinful person that's always, maybe they're just looking at your wife, maybe they're just, you know, whatever it is they're doing, but they have an evil eye. They want things that they shouldn't be wanting. Maybe it is money or food or whatever it is. Look what it says in verse 7. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So people that sit there and have evil thoughts and evil communications, they're thinking about those things in their heart before they ever say them. And it says, eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. There's people that you're going to hang around with that their heart isn't actually with you. They have an agenda. They have something that they want from you. They want to turn you aside. And it starts with subtlety. It starts with their evil eye. It starts with their evil thoughts. And like they could invite you out to dinner or whatever, but what they really want is to turn you away from the faith or turn you aside from friendship with somebody else, or just, you know, they want something from you, and it's something that's evil. So it says keep away from those types of people. So when you hang around evil people, their evil will affect you, is basically what I'm saying here. So don't let that person's evil affect you, because I tell this to people all the time. You know, we're not supposed to make friends with the world. Why? Because they're going to rub off on you. You're not going to rub off on them. Unless you're trying to get them saved or something, then these people that don't believe anything like you believe, they have some, you know, they're even, just unsaved people in general, they don't think the same way that you do. And so ultimately, there's going to be a clash with how you deal with this person, and they're going to affect you. The kids that you let your kids hang out with, their kids are going to affect your kids. You're not going to affect theirs if you're trying to, you know, obviously you want to be a good influence to people, but if they're already corrupt, if they're already doing evil and wicked things, then that person is going to rub off on you. You're not going to rub off on them. So, believe it or not everybody has your best interest at heart either. You know, we would think in the circles of Christianity that, and in a church, that everybody always has your best interest at heart, but that's not always true, is it? It's not always true, and that's like when you see people that have been going to church for years, and all of a sudden they just turn against the pastor, turn against the church, you know, and sometimes it's a short-term thing. You're like, oh, this person's on fire, they're going soul winning, they're doing all this stuff, and the next thing you know, they're talking crap, and they're trying to divide the body of Christ, they're trying to throw shade on the pastor or whatever, and so, you know, you don't want negativity to be something that you're a part of. And look, when you start seeing this happen, if you actually stop and pay attention and quit listening to flattery and quit paying attention to how much you like them and all this, just stop and listen to people for a minute and listen to what they're saying to you. Because that's the problem with us, is we all like to talk. I kind of mentioned this in my sermon a few weeks ago. People like to talk and they like to be heard. They want their opinions to be told. But sometimes you need to just shut your mouth and listen to what they're saying to you, because not everybody has the best interest of you in their heart. Negativity, filthy language, subtlety, boasting, and pride are other forms of evil communication that can corrupt your manners or the manners of those you love. So pick your kids' friends wisely also. Just because somebody's from church doesn't mean they always are the best influence for you. Now, I would love that everybody in our church is always doing the right things, or they're always raising their kids right or whatever, but that's just not always true, unfortunately. So who your kids hang around with, like I said, they're going to influence your children. So, and I'm not saying like just be rude to other kids in the church or be rude to other people in the church, but you know who you do well with. You know, it's like, some people just meet each other and they can't help but do bad together. You know what I'm saying? Yep. And so some people get together and they just do good together. And that's great. Yeah. But if you realize and recognize that your kids are doing worse once they're hanging around with somebody, then maybe that's someone that you need to rein your children back in and not let them be friends with them. And obviously you don't have to be rude about it. But like, because you can't raise other people's kids for them. You can't spank other people's kids for them. You know, don't be spanking other people's kids in this church, all right? Only I can do that. I'm just kidding. With your permission, of course. No, I'm just joking. I've never spanked anybody else's kids in this church. That'd be weird. But you're only responsible for you and your family. You can't help what other people do, all right? So pick your kids' friends wisely. And don't feel bad when you have to dial things back with people. Because like I said, some people you're just going to do bad with. They're always going to just do bad together. They're like Bonnie and Clyde, you know? They just can't help but do wrong things together. So it's your job as a parent to be responsible and know what your kids are into and who they're hanging around with and what their influence is. So, and it's the same thing with adults. You know who you do well with and who you don't. So, and unfortunately today, narcissism is rampant in this country. Narcissism is rampant in this country. And what is narcissism? It's selfishness, right? Of a person involving a sense of entitlement, a lack of empathy, and a need for admiration as characterizing their personality type. So, and I would say that they could be sociopaths, they could be reprobates, for all I know. But narcissism is not a good trait to have. where you're always, you know, that person's selfish, they don't care about what's going on with other people, they have this sense of entitlement, and they have a lack of empathy. Lack of empathy is a very scary thing when someone doesn't care about what other people are going through, that they only care about what they're going through, not what other people are going through, and you can't care about that other person because you're so wrapped up in yourself. And narcissism is basically the love of self, really, if you boil it down. I think, you know, your favorite person is the person that you look in the mirror at. That's what narcissism actually is, you know. So it's like, hey, good to see you today. Yeah. looking good. And that's basically, I mean, if you boil it down to its essence, that's what narcissism is that the love of self. And that's a dangerous place to be, and that's a dangerous person to hang around with. And sometimes it's hard to see that because they're so good at manipulating other people to their side. So I've seen narcissists that have stolen things from people, and then they make them feel bad that they were mad at them. It's like, that's weird. Like, you're still hanging around someone that ripped you off for thousands of dollars. That person's a good narcissist. Well, it was for the greater good, you know. Sorry I had to take your money like that, but that's just weird, right? And what is a good way that narcissists, how do they attack and how do they do these things? Well, gaslighting is a way that people, you know, use to manipulate people. Narcissists and other people would use gaslighting. It's a term that's widely used today. Who's heard of gaslighting before? Who knows what it means? All right, less people. Gaslighting means to manipulate someone by psychological means into questioning their own sanity. So, and those things can be big things or little things, but you're basically just saying you discount everything that person says. They're crazy. You know, this is why you're crazy. And they just basically manipulate people. It's a form of manipulation to just tell someone that everything that they feel doesn't mean anything. Everything that they're going through is not right. You're not thinking right. You're just nuts. And people do this all the time. And narcissisms use this tool of gaslighting to manipulate people. And other people use it too. But it is a form of manipulation. I hate when people try to manipulate me. But you know what? If you go through life long enough, someone is going to manipulate you. You are going to think that person's good. And then you find out later on that person never was with you. They were always stabbing you in the back. And you just didn't realize it. And you know what? Sometimes love is blind. When you love and care about someone, sometimes it's hard to see that person will be trying to harm you in some kind of manipulative way through evil communication. Because wouldn't gaslighting be evil communication? Because how do you manipulate someone? It's not by, you know, sign language. Or I mean, I guess it could be, but, you know, it's not by being a mime. You know, that's not how you manipulate people. You manipulate people by the things you say out of your mouth. And narcissistic people love to manipulate people through how they speak. And so I've seen preachers that are narcissistic, and they use all this stuff. You know, it's always the big extreme that nobody really does that they preach about that isn't really happening. And then people think, well, wow, I didn't realize this was such a problem. That's how preachers can manipulate people. Well, I didn't realize that, you know, this was going on. I didn't realize that the new IFB was just, you know, always hate and never love. That's what people say. Who's been on you don't have to raise your hand, but who's been on the merciful and long-suffering side of the new IFB pastors? I have. Everybody probably has in this room. But see, they'll take something and run with it, and they'll like, where's all the sermons about love? How about every sermon we preach is about love? How about that? You know, because when I'm telling someone to stay away from a wicked person, that's loving, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because most churches aren't going to tell you stuff like that.
Right.
They're going to be like, oh, yeah, just go along to get along and grace, grace, grace. And hey, did I mention grace? Did I mention mercy? Let me mention mercy one more time. How about another sermon on grace? If you're listening to Paul Chappell, that's basically what you're getting. Every year it's another thing about another 33-week message about grace. So, look, there's other stuff in the Bible. We're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God, right? And, hey, if we're in a wicked and adulterous generation, you know, sometimes we're going to have to preach about things that are uncomfortable Because you know what? The television and the news channels are manipulating your minds. The news media is manipulating your minds into making you think things that are not true. You know, we're always getting on this, Republican, libertarian thing as Christians. But you know what? Some of the things that the Republicans stand for are wrong too. And obviously, Democrats are way worse. I'll give you that. Because anybody that votes abortion on demand at all times is a wicked person. But also, you know, the Republicans bow down and kiss their feet too. And then when they come together to make this legislation, it's not just one thing that they're making a bill about. They have all this pork and all this spending and all this other garbage that they put into one bill. That shouldn't be the way this country operates. Why don't you just say what it is that you're doing and quit trying to manipulate people? Quit trying to manipulate people, even with all this LGBT garbage. It's manipulation. They want you to feel bad. They want you to feel bad for people. But I'll tell you what, if you're here tonight, I'm preaching about, you know, the cries of Sodom tonight, and I'll show you what manipulation is like. Because how do they turn all these cities against God and to where even the children were surrounding the house? Well, manipulation. Manipulation. So anyway, that's tonight. But when someone's trying to manipulate you, some people don't even notice it because the flattery, the subtlety, oh, you look so great. Oh, you look so good. Oh, you know, you're the best friend that I've ever had. You're the best friend in the whole world. Come give me a hug. You know, people get tricked by stuff like that. I've been tricked by stuff like that. Everybody's been tricked by stuff like that. And I say tricked because that's what subtlety is. Isn't that what the serpent did to Eve in the Garden of Eden? He used subtlety. He made her doubt God's word was really right and that God's hiding something from you. You can become a God just like he is. You can become like God. And what did that do? It turned mankind into sinful people. And here we are today. By one subtle trick by the devil, it turned the whole world into sinners. And it turned, you know, God was trying to protect them. He wasn't trying to stop them from knowing something. You know, he said, here's one thing you can't do. And then the one thing that they weren't supposed to do, that's what they did. And God was trying to protect them from that. He wanted them to stay innocent. But see, once they ate of that tree, that was the sin they committed, was eating something that God told them not to do. Disobedience. That's what ultimately led to this world being condemned. But when you're talking to people and someone's communicating things with you, listen to them. Amen. You need to listen. Amen. Stop running your mouth the whole time. And obviously, sometimes people, you know, we're bad about interrupting people. My wife says I'm bad about interrupting people. Is that true? What? No, I'm just kidding. What do you think, Brother Sean? No, I'm just kidding. And maybe I am bad about that. I'll work on it. You know, I'm going to give us some things we need to work on with our communication at the end of this sermon. But we need to listen for subtlety. Subtlety is making use of clever and indirect methods to achieve something. Let me say that again. Subtlety is making use of clever and indirect methods to achieve something. It's indirect. It's not straightforward. Amen. See, last time I preached about this, I said we need to be straightforward with people, not indirect. Not indirect. Not using clever methods to try to work around someone's mental defenses. That's subtlety, and that's the trick of the devil. And so people that do that, that's what the devil taught us, right? To be subtle, to be indirect. And we shouldn't be that way. Turn to James chapter 1, verse 19. James chapter 1, verse 19. I think I used this in my last sermon, but that's a good scripture. James chapter 1, verse 19. James is kind of like a Proverbs to the New Testament in a way. It's got a lot of great stuff in it. So look at verse number 19. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear." Does it say swift to speak? No, it says slow to speak. And doesn't say to speak slow. Hey, guys, how's it go? No, it says be slow to speak. What, you know, take your time. Take your time to speak back, listen to what people are, be swift to hear. Why is God saying that? Because a lot of people don't listen to what people are saying. Sometimes they're already planning their next thing that they want to say and not even listening to anything that that person's saying. You're just waiting to respond with your knowledge, the thing that you want to get across. And that's why we're able to be manipulated so easily, is because we're not swift to hear, we're swift to speak. And so this is something the Bible's warning us about and telling us, trying to help us with. Be slow to speak and slow to wrath. So, you know, it builds up. But it says, does it say not to have any wrath? No, it just says be slow to wrath. So I just want to throw that out there. Like, people go, I can't believe that you got so mad about that. Why? Brother Sean preached a good sermon about be angry. You know, people like think that we're like, you know, Buddhists floating through the air, you know, or something, that we never do anything. We can't even touch a blade of grass, or we're sinful. It's like, where are you getting this from? Have you read the Old Testament prophets before? You know, they thundered forth the word of God, and they weren't always nice to everybody. Elisha has Naaman, you know, he just says, go dip in the water 7 times. I don't even want to see this dude. You know, and people are like, I can't believe that you would treat someone that way. Well, sometimes people need to be treated. Maybe he knew that he needed to be treated a little more rough. Right. Because he thought he was, you know, he was kind of prideful. Yeah. He's like, we have way better rivers than this river. And it's like, well, yeah, you probably do, but that's not what he said to do. He said to dip in this river. And that's the thing, is people want to do things their own way. They think it's Burger King Christianity. They want everything their way. They don't want anything to ever be negative or anything like that. And I'm talking about evil communication, but sometimes negative communication is the right kind of communication. So don't get me mixed up what I'm saying today. So, but it says, turn to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. So we're supposed to be swift to hear, slow to speak. All right, swift to hear, slow to speak, not slow to hear and swift to speak. Okay. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13 says, he that answereth a matter before he what? Heareth it. It is folly and shame unto him. So if you're answering some kind of matter before you've even heard the whole story, what does it say? It's folly and shame to you. So what's the Bible teaching you? Why don't you listen? Why don't you hear the whole story before you judge the situation? And this is another thing that people do. It's like they'll hear something, which is some tale-bearing story, and then they'll already make a judgment based upon what they've heard from that one person. But the Bible says that, you know, the person that comes, you know, and the Bible says the person that comes and presents their story first, that's the person that people are going to believe first. But then it says his neighbor comes and proves him. Amen. So sometimes the neighbor has to, you know, the person that's being talked about has to come and defend themselves and tell, hey, that's not really how the whole story goes. But if you've already made a judgment in your mind before you've already heard the rest of the story, then that's a folly and a shame to you. Amen. So if we would learn to listen, it would be very beneficial to us. That's what the Bible's teaching. So start listening to what people are saying, and you're going to get yourself out of, and I know people say this a lot, I'm preaching to myself. I really am preaching to myself, because I can get wrapped up in this stuff too, where I'm not listening when I should be listening, and I'm talking before I should listen and hear the whole matter. So I think that's beneficial to all of us. Listen for those that try to throw shade on your leadership or other church members. Because some people have an agenda to just divide people away from your little group. And that's what I hate that. Like, I'm the type of person that wants to be accepting of everybody. Even if that person isn't my soulmate friend or whatever. I don't know if I don't mean soulmate. But I mean, like, your best friend, right? Someone that you just, your heart's knit with that person right away. And you're just like, wow, it's like David and Jonathan. You know, you meet those people and it's like right away you just connect with them. But just because you connect with that person doesn't mean you don't be friends with everybody else. You can be connected and great friends with somebody, but if you're excluding everybody else, then you're wrong. You need to, you know, make sure that you're letting, you know, and obviously it sounds like I'm preaching like something that would be, you know, well, you said not to hang around certain people. Yeah, but I'm saying don't hang around people that are evilly communicating to you. I'm talking about those people, but if someone's just a regular person in the church and you just don't like them, they're ugly, they're fat, or whatever, that they're not exactly like you, then you just want to not be around them. That's not the way that we're supposed to look at things. We're not supposed to judge someone based upon their appearance. We're supposed to judge them based upon their heart. And obviously, we can't see everybody's heart. I realize that. But the things that come out of their mouth or the things that they speak come out of their heart, right? And so if they're speaking good and pleasant things and things that are good for us to hear, then that's a good sign that person is a good person. And why would you shun them just because they're not exactly like you? And try to get other church members to not like them just because you don't like them. That's weird. It's worldly. It's not the way that we should be behaving. It's not the way we should be acting. We shouldn't just be separating everybody out that's not just like us. Because guess what? Not everybody's just like you. And maybe that's good. So maybe you need to get better at being a good person. Maybe you need to be better at being a good friend to people. Maybe you need to reach out the olive branch to someone that you've shunned in times past just because you weren't a mature Christian at that time. But you know what? We should grow and get better and better as Christians, not get worse and worse. See, evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, but as Christians, we should learn and get better at the things and get better with relationships, get better with accepting other people. You know, and I'm not saying you have to be friends with everybody, but you know, you can be pleasant to that person and not try to go around and dog them out in front of everybody so that you don't have some person in your circle that you don't like. It's not right. We should be accepting to other Christians. We're all one lump here. Right? And we don't want leaven to get mixed into our church. So anyway, so beware of the flatterer also. Beware of the flatterer. So what is flattery? What is flattery? Well, flattery is excessive and insincere praise. Pastor, that's the best sermon I've ever heard in my life. I don't believe you. I heard myself. It wasn't that good. Or excessive. You're just always... You know, and I'm not saying don't ever say, hey, good sermon, pastor. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying, like, if someone's always saying that's the best sermon I've ever heard, I really don't believe you. But nobody does that to me, so. Anyway, maybe because it's not the best sermon I've ever heard. Anyway, you're being honest. But, you know, insincere praise given especially to further one's own interests. See, that's what flattery really is, and flattery is always wrong in the Bible. And flatter, you know, oh, you're flattering me. Have you heard that? That's a common term today. Oh, you flatter me, you know. Oh, I'm so beautiful. Thank you for flattering me. Flattering is wrong. Amen. It's never good in the Bible. So if someone is flattering you, then just know that they're setting you up for something. They want something from you. They want an agenda. It's something to serve their own interests. And the Bible always talks about it being something wrong. Just like railing, it's always wrong. So look at Psalm chapter 5, verse 9. Psalm chapter 5, verse number 9. Psalm 5:9 says, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with the tongue. So this is talking about these wicked types of people. There's no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is wickedness. And their throat is an open sepulcher. They got bad breath. It's like the grave, right? I know some people that have this, but... I'm talking about like in a spiritual sense here. They flatter with the tongue. So what is flattery? It's insincere praise that's trying to further your own interests and agendas. Insincere and excessive praise. So what do people that are wicked do that are trying to manipulate you? Well, they flatter you with their tongue. Turn to Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 is just talking about the Antichrist. So what is one of the characteristics of the Antichrist? Well, it says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. So how does the Antichrist get more people on his team? Well, he corrupts them by flatteries. And so, you know, it's just like that trash collector type mentality. This bad guy is going to corrupt everybody else and turn them into garbage by flattering them. That's how he's going to do it. It says, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. See, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to respond to things differently. We should not be corrupted by the flatteries of other people. Amen. Here's another evil communication, backbiting. So backbiting You know, and you probably think instantly that someone's just chomping someone's back with their teeth, right? And that's basically that's what it means. You know, not literally, but spiritually and by word. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 23. Turn over there, Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 23. And how do we deal with a backbiter? How do we deal with somebody that's talking crap about people behind their back all the time? Well, the Bible tells us how to deal with it real quick. It says, the north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. So if someone's backbiting someone all the time, and backbiting is talking bad about someone behind their back and try to destroy their character, try to destroy them. How do you get them to stop doing that? Well, it says, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. So if someone's sitting there backbiting someone in front of you, then just give them like a dirty look. Do I look mad right now? Yeah, something like this. What are you doing? How dare you talk about them like that? How dare you talk about my pastor like that? How dare you talk about my brother and sister like that? But so backbiting is talking about someone behind their back. That's what it is. And how do you deal with that? You don't go, well, tell me more. Come, tell me more. I want to hear about this issue. No, you say, hey, quit backbiting that person. And you know what that'll do? That'll stop that person dead in their tracks. Or if they're talking bad about me, say, hey, well, let's go talk to the pastor about that. Come on. Hey, let's go talk to sister so-and-so about this issue right now. And I guarantee you, they're going to stop dead in their tracks, and they're going to shut their mouth, and they're going to feel like an idiot. And they should, because it's wrong. And I'm not saying that everybody that backbites someone is some evil, wicked person, but it is evil communication, isn't it? It's something that we need to stop doing. Now, tail-bearing is another one. Let's look at tail-bearing. Tail-bearing in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. Tail-bearing, I already kind of explained to you what that is. It's where you're going around telling tales about other people. It's basically what we modern-day call gossip. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. What's the Bible say? Thou shalt not go up and down as a tail-bearer among the people. This is talking about in the congregation, right? Or just even outside the congregation, but like it's talking about God's people here. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among the people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. So we're not supposed to go up and down. That's what talebearers do. They want to go up and down and tell everybody about this gossip and rumor that they heard. And it's wrong. It's wicked because it never ends up coming out the right to what actually really happened. And it's harmful to people. It hurts people's feelings. And it's going to drive, you know what you're going to do? You're going to drive that person away from the faith. You're going to drive that person away from what, you know, what do people always say? Well, you know, I don't want to go to church because they're a bunch of hypocrites. Right? Isn't that what they say? And like, there's hypocrites at Walmart too, but you still go there. I get it. There's hypocrites at, you know, Fred Meyer, but you still go there. But they use that as an excuse and a reason, but you know, there's something to it though. Because if they get a bad experience at church and like everybody was talking crap about them, everybody was being rude to them, you know, what is their experience telling them? That God's people aren't treating people right. God's people are going around as a gossip and a tellbearer, and it's not good. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. I'm going to read for you Proverbs 11, verse 13, if you're taking notes. It says, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. So a talebearer, so someone that know, maybe you know something about something, instead of revealing the, you know, it says a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. That's called discretion. You're concealing a matter. If it's none of your business, then why are you talking about it? If it's not something you can help or something that directly affects you, why are you talking about it? You shouldn't be. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. It says, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. So we're getting a double whammy here. It's saying that a talebearer is the type of person that goes and reveals secrets. And it says, meddle not with them. Don't have anything to do with them that flattereth with their lips. Hey, I know you're not going to tell anybody, so I'm going to tell you this secret. That's how they operate. Don't tell anybody I told you this, but Did you know they're committing adultery? Did you? You know what I mean? Like, that's not your job to do. If you know something about something like that, that's when you come to the pastor and say, "Hey, I've heard this is going on." Someone that can actually deal with the matter. But if you're telling all this stuff to people that can't even deal with the matter, and the pastor's the last one to find out, do you think that's the right way to do things? It's absolutely not the right way to do things. So, Proverbs chapter 26, verse 22 says, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." So the wounds of a talebearer, see, talebearers, ultimately, they might say, "Well, I didn't mean to hurt anybody." And people say, you know, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." That's not really true. Words can hurt people. And when you're going and talking crap about people, those become wounds to the people that you're telling them about. Because how do you clear your name on some of this stuff? And someone just gone around and told this story and never come to the person that it's about, then you're a talebearer. And that's a wicked sin that you should not be doing. You're talking crap about people and spreading misinformation, and you might think it's true. You might actually think that what they're saying is true, but you know what? The wounds of a talebearer go down to the innermost parts of the belly, because you know what? A lot of times they're not true. But even if they are true, you're still not supposed to be going around telling other people's business. Right. What are you actually trying to accomplish? Yeah. Trying to make everybody hate that person? Trying to make everybody, so you got all the great information? You know, "Oh, come to me if you want your information. I will tell you everything." It's not right. Lies. Look at verse 28 in Proverbs chapter 26. It says, "A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin." So the lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. So when you're telling lies about someone, that person, you hate that person that you're afflicting with that lie. Right. Isn't that what it says? It's an interesting verse. "And a flattering mouth worketh ruin." So it brings that flattery into it. So you know that this type of person is not a good person. Look at Psalm chapter 31, verse 18. Psalm chapter 31, verse 18. The Bible says, "Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous." Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. And there's people that will just, they'll run with talebearing. They won't even check the source. They won't even check and make sure that what that person's saying is true. And people just run with a lie, you know, like these reason files goofballs, that they'll hear one lying railer from the church and then make a video about it. Yeah. They'll listen to railing and they'll publish these things as if they're true, when actually they're taking a lie and then perpetuating that onto everybody else, making them think that that's true. So that's what lying lips do. And what is the intention of a person's communication when they're speaking evil about somebody? They're lying about them. They're a wicked person. Psalm chapter 120, verse 2 says, "Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue." You know why David's saying that? Because people are always lying about him. People are always being deceitful with him. And that's the way it is when, you know, with leadership, a lot of times is that people lie about you. People make up stories about you. People twist the truth about you. And it could be about anybody. It could be about any Christian. You know, your own family members lying about you, lying and telling other family members lies about you. I'm sure nobody else has dealt with that before in this church, right? "They're in a cult. They carry guns to church. They spank their kids." Yeah, because we don't want them to turn out like your kids. Aunt, auntie and uncle whose kids never got spanked their whole lives. I got those family members, and they want to judge me. Look at your kids. They're all messed up on drugs and work at casinos and stuff. You know, you're going to talk crap about my kids? My kids were pure when they went to the altar. How about yours? Oh, they haven't even gone to the altar yet because they're fornicators. But anyway, six things that the Lord hates. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. Six things the Lord hates. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Talking about evil communication, right? Feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. God hates those things. God hates your wicked imagination. He hates the fact that you have a lying tongue and you're a proud look. Nobody's ever better than you at church about anything. You're the best there ever was, and nobody can ever do it like you. You're the goat of the church, greatest of all time. And you're sowing discord among brethren. God hates that. It's an abomination to him. And so when you're sowing discord amongst brethren, people do it to us as my pastor friends and me. People try to sow discord amongst brethren, and it's wicked. It's wrong. So we need to understand that evil communication can affect us in a mighty way. It can affect our manner of lives. It can affect everything. It can affect our relationships. But it can affect the way we behave. And that's what we really need to be on guard about, is how do we behave? Well, if someone's a talebearer and you suffer that person, then guess what? You're going to turn into a talebearer just like them. And then you're just as bad as they are. So, I talked about having discretion in conversation. Proverbs 5, verse 1 and 2 says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to mine understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion and that thy lips may keep knowledge." So we need to regard discretion. We need to have discretion in mind when it comes to our conversations with people. Discretion is a quality of behaving or speaking in such a way as to avoid causing offense or revealing private information. See, that's what, so when you're having discretion, you're not a talebearer. You're not the person that's going around doing all that stuff. So I told you, I'm going to give you, at the end of the sermon, I was going to give you eight things to avoid in communication. Now, not all these things are necessarily evil, but it can affect the way people perceive you, and it can affect the way your conversations go. So I guess it can be evil in the way where, if you avoid doing these things, it can help you just communicate with people better, and so that your communication would be called good communication, right? So, and I didn't make any of this stuff up. I got it off the internet. So, but I thought they were good things. So number one, constantly interrupting. I already kind of mentioned that. Things to avoid. These are your top eight things to avoid in your communication. Constantly interrupting. We all have one thing in common when talking. We want to be listened to. So if you're one of those people that tend to jump in and interrupt, or even worse, try to complete people's sentences for them. Isn't that annoying when people do that? And they're like mouthing what you're saying. And then they like try to finish your sentence. You need to keep yourself in check. All right, don't do that. It's weird. It's annoying. You might think your constant interjections are a way to show your level of engagement, but they really just make you look like a conversational bulldozer. or the school bus getting knocked over by the train. So we need to stop constantly interrupting people when they're talking. These are just things that are going to help you in your daily conversations, okay? Number two, multitasking. Multitasking, and I'm bad about this too sometimes, but I'm busy a lot, but I shouldn't make excuses. Like when someone's talking to you, it's best to just stay focused on what they're saying and look at them in the eyes. And, sometimes I'm bad about that. I get it. So it says conversations deserve your full attention and not just the half-hearted glances you're willing to give them when you manage to rip your focus away from your iPhone. Multitasking is a habit we're likely all guilty of, but you need to be present for your conversations no matter how menial or futile they may seem. That means no scrolling through your email or subconsciously thinking about your grocery list. Give your conversational partners the attention that they deserve. So those are things that can help you. Number three, using qualifiers. Do you know what using qualifiers is when you're having a conversation? Don't take this personally, but this might be a bad idea, but... Or, I know what you're thinking, but those are using qualifiers before you answer someone or give them something in your conversation. Qualifiers include qualifiers of quantity. So some, most, all, none. Those are qualifiers of quantity. Qualifiers of time. occasionally, sometimes, now and again, usually, always, never. And I'll say this with wives, just because I know my wife, always and never. You always do this. You never know. Those are qualifiers, though. Qualifiers of certainty. I guess, I think, I know, I'm absolutely certain, etc. Those are qualifiers of certainty. A qualifier is a word that limits or enhances another word's meaning. Qualifiers affect the certainty and specificity, that's what it is. Good night. Communication. Of a statement. Overusing certain types of qualifiers, for example, very or really. I really, really need a hug. He's very, very stupid. No. You can make a piece of writing or conversation. You can overuse these in writing too. Don't they always say in writing, don't use the word very and things like that. So, but that can happen in your writing. And so, it can make your writing or your conversation sound lazily constructed. Qualifiers exist for nearly every situation, but if you have the tendency to overuse them, you may be driving people up the wall. Why? Well, while these prefacing statements might seem like a great way to sugarcoat your sentences, they often just come off as condescending or unnecessary. So that can help your, these, and obviously we all do some of this stuff, right? You're probably all thinking, that's me. It's all of us, especially in 2021 when people have forgotten how to write and they text talk. They spell as they text through, THRU, it's like, is it really that hard to spell out the rest of the word? Number four, equating your experiences. Tell me if this situation sounds familiar. Someone is explaining a difficult problem he's currently facing. You immediately retort with, I know exactly how you feel. And then launch into your own long-winded tale of a time you experienced something that's not even the least bit similar. It's important to remember that human experiences are all different. Your attempts to show empathy are admirable, but in most cases, you're better off just listening and lending support. Yeah. Number five, floundering. We've all had to deal with those people who seem to just ramble on endlessly without a point. Those people who appear to be talking simply just because they like the sound of their own voices. Needless to say, you don't want to garner this reputation for yourself by constantly chiming in without a clear purpose. When you do decide to speak up, make sure that you're prepared to be clear and concise. That's the mark of a skilled communicator. So jumping into a conversation, you have no frame of reference, you don't have any idea what anybody's talking about. We've all done it, okay? But, if that's something that you're good at, keep being good at that. You don't have to jump into everything not knowing what you're doing. It just makes you look dumb. Too. Yeah. I mean, when you're just like, I gotta puke myself into this conversation. So, obviously if you just want to get caught up with what's going on, maybe you were in part of another conversation, you're like, hey, this sounds interesting, what are you guys talking about? That's one thing, but if you just jump in to puke your opinion out and you don't even know what you're talking about, then it just makes you look like an idiot. So, number six, avoiding direct contact. I'm a big fan of the convenience of email and text messages. However, if you've ever dealt with someone who took the time to write out a lengthy message for someone, he or she could have easily explained to you in person in as few as two sentences, you know how frustrating that can be. The never-ending assortment of communication tools available today has made us all a little less willing to actually talk to one another. So people would rather write out a message instead of just directly talking to the person face-to-face. Yeah. So before hitting send on a message, ask yourself if this is something that could be done more efficiently in person or over the phone. You'll save yourself and the person on the receiving end a lot of headaches. So because nobody likes to read text walls that are like this long on your messenger or something, it's like, good night. You could have spoke to me on the phone about that. But, sometimes it's good to have things in written form, so I'm not saying it's always wrong. But we just got to, instead of like, because you're wasting someone's time with writing more than you have to communicate when you could just say it simply in fewer words, right? Yeah. Number seven, waiting instead of listening. As my mom always loves to tell me there's a big difference between hearing and listening. And when you're having a conversation with someone, you should be actively listening. That means you're not just staying silent about while thinking of your next point and waiting for your chance to talk again. Instead, you're engaged in what the person's explaining. Trust me, people can tell when you're tuning them out. And this is true. This is a good communication guideline. Number 8's last one, using filler words. This is something I know I'm bad about, but I think a lot of people are. And when we're preaching, it definitely, when you watch your preaching, if you preach and you watch it and you say, you know, things like that. It says, hey, Jason, I'm just checking in on that report to see if you think you'll like have that done by the end of the day. And those are called filler words. You knew this had to make it on the list somewhere. This is perhaps one of the toughest bad habits to break. We're also used to littering our sentences with these unnecessary words. It's like a nervous tick for most of us. But make your best efforts to cut them out. Your conversations will be much cleaner and more polished. Breaking a bad habit isn't always easy, but channel your energy in removing these faux pas from your conversations and you'll sure to be a better communicator. So I just wanted to help you, this morning, I wanted to help you understand the difference between good and bad communication. And you know, when we're involved in evil communication, it's hard to get out of those things. And so you need to learn to get yourself out of those situations and just say, you know what, I'm just done being like this. You know, that's what repentance is all about. So if we know that we're doing and behaving in a way we shouldn't be, we're talking about things we shouldn't be talking with certain people, that's, you know, just make a clean break of it. And, you know, if someone has to have their feelings hurt because of it, then that's just the way it is. Psalm chapter 19, verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Psalm 19, 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. So what's the point? That we need to make sure that we're doing things for the right reasons. Amen. We're communicating things for the right reasons. And when the words of our mouth are acceptable in the sight of the Lord, that's a good thing. Amen. Job chapter 6, verse 24 says, teach me and I will hold my tongue and cause me to understand where I have erred. How forcible are right words? But what doth your arguing reprove? How forcible are right words? That's what basically those tips were a guideline for you to help us to have right words. That's not a right word. You know. So I'm trying to help you with like evil communication, but plus as being just a better communicator in general. Amen. So, and the Bible says, how forcible are right words? But what doth your arguing reprove? Do you imagine to reprove words and the speeches of one that is desperate? Which are as wind. Forcible means vigorous and strong, forceful. It's good to use right words. I was talking about that at the beginning of the sermon, that words that are in the Bible, those are right words. And, you know, it's good to use the right words and be, you know, we should be smart. We should always be learning how to get better, to be better communicators, not evil communicators, but good communicators with just even how the way we have conversations with people. How to communicate is important. It's important that we realize it can mean the difference between somebody getting saved or not. Yes, sir. It's the difference between whether our marriage works out or not. Amen. Whether our kids grow up right or not. Yes. Whether someone feels appreciated or not. Whether your boss or coworker likes you or not. Whether you can hear the setup coming from someone wanting to manipulate you. Communication is a big deal, and we need to learn how to do it right, and we got to understand that evil communication isn't the way that a Christian should be operating. We should have the Lord in mind when we have our communications with other people. And, you know, it also can make the difference, you know, how we communicate is important because it can make you sound ignorant or not, okay? And I know that wasn't the right word, but ignorant, all right? Ignorant. We don't want to sound like we're ignorant. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 23 says, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. And so what am I trying to get across? I'm trying to help you to be wise. If your heart is wise, you know, teach your mouth. Let that wise heart teach your mouth and add learning to your lips. The way we communicate, if we learn how to communicate better and in a more right way, then it's going to help us in our daily lives as a Christian. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much, God, for the truths of the Bible. And Lord, I pray you just help us to be better communicators, Lord. And I pray you'd help us to not be evil communicators, Lord. I pray that if there's things in our lives, obviously everybody probably was hit with this in some way, shape, or another. But Lord, I pray that you just help us, Lord. Help us to mind you when it comes to the way that we communicate with our mouth to other people, to our spouses, to our children, to our friends, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to our family members. Lord, help us and help us to increase in knowledge, and that, Lord, that we'd learn how to use our mouth the way it's supposed to be used and not in corruptible and evil manners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.